Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Welcome to the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where we brave scanning the net to find all the deep history and lore of cyberpunk.
I'm Toasty, a fixer that's new to Night City with a desire to jump into the details of this gritty setting.
And I'm Genesis, an old school media tech with a love of character deep dives.
Together, we will bring you the foundations of the past, the state of Night City today, and the news of the future.
We've got incoming. Let's Delta.
Welcome back, Chooms, to another episode of the Cyberpunk Lorecast. I'm your girl, Genesis, and with me, as always, is Toasty.
Hello.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
It's been a weird week.
It has been a very weird week. It also doesn't feel like it's Saturday, and I don't know why. It should. I didn't go to work today. It should feel like it's a Saturday.
See, it doesn't feel like a Saturday because I did go to work today. And I don't typically.
Why would your work schedule affect my brain? Get out of it.
The mind link, I guess.
We do have two scream sheets to go over tonight, which is something we haven't had in a very long time. The first one is that we are so proud and so happy that Cyberpunk 2077 has been awarded during the 20th British Academy Game Awards. Now, the BAFTA Award for the Evolving Game has been awarded for Cyberpunk 2077's development team for their excellence in ongoing developer support. And they totally fucking deserved it. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
I mean, it's not like we're not biased at all, but, you know...
Hey, they took a game that was rough and made it into a game that was great. So, you know, that's deserve commendations for that at least. So,
big time.
And then cranked out an incredible fucking expansion. So,
yeah. The 2.0 patch that completely revamped the game to where they wanted it to be. And then the expansion on top of that. And then even some of the little small continuous support things that they're still doing to make this game even better. So thank you for everyone involved. The other scream sheet that we have to cover is a little bit more silly. I will say that. But we really do like to follow up on our promises here. I said that I would research into the fact on whether or not there was a strip club in Portland that played into the fact that female police officers are not allowed to wear red lipstick because it is an indicator of prostitution. After extensive research, I can with confidence say that there is one female strip club that does provide police uniforms as part of their costume display, but whether or not the girl chooses to wear red lipstick is completely up to her and is not considered to be part of the costume. I also did find a male review that also has policeman uniforms. And they said, for just a few dollars more, honey, I will wear whatever shade you're wearing. And yeah.
I'm sorry, was this like, did you just find this? Or did you like reach out to people to find out this information?
I don't even know if I'm going to say that on the Patreon exclusive episode.
And since Jen did that, I did check out and Honestly, I checked out if you can mount a weapon or like a gun to your vehicle in Texas. And I came back kind of inconclusive, actually. I think the general consensus is not if you plan on taking the vehicle out in a public area. You can like mount a rifle racks into your vehicle, specifically long guns. If you have a handgun, it has to be holstered if you want to have it openly displayed while in a vehicle. It cannot be out in the open. That is a requirement. And there are apparently, I found a like law forum thing, and one of the individuals did mount a specifically. I've driven around with my M60 mounted on my Jeep and other machine guns on other vehicles. But it's to say the LEOs around here are pretty familiar with my family, etc. So it's not much of a problem. I'm assuming they live probably out in the boonies. And like, you know, use it for like, maybe like, I don't know, hunting or something like that. But yeah, no. Okay.
I'm sorry. A fucking M60 attached to a Jeep and the Leos yes. are just chill with it? What the fuck is Texas?
So it sounds like it sounds like yes, but you do have to consider scaring or frightening the public, and if it could be a concern for the public, then it could legal action could be taken. Don't take them out in public. There are examples of people having vehicles or weapons mounted to their vehicles. So here we are.
Okay.
Should we get to the actual topic, I guess?
I think we need to stop laughing first, and then we can, yes. Okay, so M60s mounted on Jeep and police officers who may or may not wear lipstick while they're stripping. What a great way to lead our conversation into Haywood.
I mean, look, they probably have both of those things in Haywood. Let's be entirely honest.
Yeah. Yeah. All of those things. Regular police officers, stripper police officers, and a lot of different types of guns mounted to a lot of different types of vehicles.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. We're talking about Haywood, which is weird because if you remember from our Santo Domingo episode, Haywood wasn't initially where Haywood was.
Right. It was very weird and kind of shifted on the map. So I think maybe we should start with like the 2020 lore so that way we can get into it.
So we do have that. It was specifically, and like we said before, I think, I don't know exactly how much we clarified it in Santo Domingo, but I'm not doing it as like the name association as much. I'm doing it specifically where we know the location in 2077 to be. So back in 2020, this area of Night City was South Night City. Simple. This area was chiefly a heavily industrialized port with a battered old oil refinery terminal, a container shipping port, the Night City Municipal Sewage Treatment Plant, and miles of cheap, shabby housing constructed at the turn of the century by mob-controlled contractors. We remember the mob that helped build the city?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. South Night City was known in the 2020s as an especially dangerous place. If you weren't waylaid and dragged into a dark alley by one of the many gangs that roamed the South Night City sprawl, it was just as likely you would be shot by some trigger-happy local mistaking you for a member of one of the aforementioned gangs.
It is always a good idea to travel here during the day. At night, the fireworks start, and usually the ambulances don't make it into the area until the next morning. My God. Night City, yeah. You are so troubled.
Yep.
The largest employer in South Night City was the San Moro Bay Cargo and Container Port. The main loading and unloading terminal for container ships entering the central California area. From here, fruit, vegetables, processed foods, and manufactured goods flowed out of both NorCal and SoCal in a steady stream, while imported goods flowed back in.
That's how you know that it's the 2020s, because they still have fruit and vegetables.
Right?
I just read that and I was like, oh, shit, that's really early on. Not everything was destroyed in the Night City Holocaust. Already heavily built up with skyscrapers and densely packed urban construction, considerable amount of the urban center had survived. But the detonation and subsequent destruction had damaged the seawalls and breakwaters that kept the bay and the outer Pacific Ocean from overwhelming the majority of the central part of the city stood on. Periodic flooding was a regular occurrence, and power and water were chancy at best. The Incart subway still ran when it wasn't flooded by the tide, and the city planners were working to raise the majority of the track into a new monorail configuration with time and money the city did not have in that situation.
In the rebuilding center, cranes and construction gear, like the ubiquitous Zarafa mechanoids, are everywhere. The looming skeletons of the new corporate towers rose from the ruins of the old city. They were patrolled by vigilant private armies and mechanical sentry drones. The work never stopped, and the center was always alight with the slam of heavy machines, brilliantly lit up with construction arc lights.
Now, among this area is probably one that sounds familiar, which is the Glen. It was a burgeoning new district, which contained most of the important governmental buildings of Night City. Another one of the areas that now constitutes what we see as Haywood in 2077 was Combat Zone. Yeah, we haven't much talked about that on here yet because I really haven't gotten into them. A bit of a description for those who don't know. Combat Zone, gangs are the absolute rulers of the Combat Zones, moving between the slums, tenements, and ruins of abandoned city blocks. The gangs and their allies divide up turf, control the limited resources, and kill anyone or anything that gets in the way. There's no reconstruction going on in the Combat Zones, although sometimes corporate or city lawmen drop down on the area like a ton of ferro bricks and start killing the gangers wholesale, a process the city likens to trimming back kudzu.
Ah, kudzu. An evil, evil vine. I don't know if it's located anywhere else but other than like the southern part of the United States, so it is a very, very fast-growing weed.
Yes, but it's fine. I'm used to dealing with those. You know what else is basically a really, really fast-growing weed? Sunflowers.
Oh, yeah. All right, so the old Combat Zone. Now, this is a district in the city long ago abandoned to the gangs and psychos. The old Combat Zone is the seed that the rest of the Combat Zones grew from. Ha ha.
Yep.
the fact that we were just talking about kudzu and sunflowers, and now...
That's true. Yeah.
The South Night City is an industrial sprawl filled with trigger-happy gangs and abandoned warehouses repurposed into hideouts and headquarters.
Yeah. And to clarify, this is the South Night City of 2045. So it went from being pretty similar to a combat zone to just actually being one.
Yeah.
So, yep. But as we move on to 2077, we know that that has changed significantly. So our 2077 database entry for Haywood is such. Haywood is a district of contradictions. The northern part that borders the city center is modern and well-kept, proud of its stunning mega buildings, parks, and places that are open to the public. But all you have to do is go a few blocks southeast, and the scenery starts to change dramatically. This part of Haywood is much poorer and more dangerous. The buildings are smaller, and the streets are controlled by the Valentinos and the 6th Street Gang. If you know your place and keep your head down, Haywood isn't really so bad. After all, it's where most of Night City sleeps. If you're not a corpo and you score an apartment in the richer part of the district, like you can with V and getting your Glynn apartment, I think, which is the nicest one in the whole game, score an apartment in the richer part of the district, then you've just won the lottery. Otherwise, just be happy you live in Haywood. In Night City, things could always be worse.
Ain't that the damn truth?
Yeah.
The Glen is a very nice apartment. Mm-hmm. I still like my Corpo Plaza better. But that's just me. And I like the lore implications behind it too. Because if you, in your original apartment, you open up the blinds and you look out the window and you've got this gorgeous view of Night City, you look over to your right and that's the Corpo apartment. That's the Corpo Plaza apartment right there. And then once you get in there, you can actually look back up and look into your old apartment and you can see where you started and how far you've come. And I love that.
Okay. That's fair.
All right.
I just like an open floor plan.
Yeah. I see that too. And that pool table.
It does. And windows. Yeah, can't put Judy on the pool table at the other one.
Haywood is known by the locals as the biggest bedroom in Night City. Due to the majority living in this area, the richer parts of Haywood are primarily occupied by corpos. But for every rule, there's always an exception and an odd soul or two from outside the corporate circle that will occasionally manage to get an apartment. The rest are just happy that they get to live in Haywood, with their only realistic alternatives being Pacifica or the industrial wasteland outside of Night City.
Yeah.
Haywood, please.
Mm-hmm. Wellsprings, the safest part of Haywood, is full of working stiffs and underpaid corporate employees, much like any other American city in 2077.
Or 2024.
Yeah. After Night City got taken over by corporations, the government moved to the Glen. It's now a state-owned sub-district with a town hall, mayor's office, court, and a big NCPD station. Vista Del Rey is the poorest part of the district. It's heavily underinvested, crime-ridden, and slowly descending further into chaos, with many residents moving to other locations and more gang members moving into the empty void, aka the combat zone.
Well, the history. During the time of the Red, the old Haywood was divided into a northern, mostly English-speaking area, while the south was populated by the Spanish-speaking families who called that area Santo Domingo. In time, the northern population crossed the channel west to South Night City. Yeah, follow that. Taking the name of Haywood with them. The population of Santo Domingo grew and instead spread to the older Japantown and Little China areas. And thus, Vista del Rey was born.
So the, as we've stated, but we, the sub-districts of Haywood are the Glen, the Vista del Rey, and the Wellsprings. And then other significant locations that we have are the Night City University, which I didn't know a lot about 2020, so I just learned about that in doing this research. Because apparently it's a very dense location in the 2020 stuff. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about it later. And then, of course, the Wells House, our favorite family.
Yes. Jackie and his mama and his brothers and sisters, right? Jackie has siblings, yeah?
I think he has a
brother? Now I gotta look it up.
I can't remember. Yeah, I think he had like a brother, like an older brother. But I think he got up to no good. Maybe he didn't. I don't remember.
Relatives, Guadalupe, his mother, Raul, his father. Oh, unnamed relatives is a deceased unnamed cousin.
Oh, shit. No siblings.
No, that's why he adopts V as their sibling. I was like, that's why they're hermanos, but in some form it's hermanas.
I was going to say hermanos. In my situation, it's always hermanas.
Yep. Okay, anyways, we are not here to talk about Jackie. Specifically, we are here talking about Haywood. And we do have a behind-the-scenes look from the official digital art book of Cyberpunk 2077. In some ways, Haywood is the Westbrook of the Southeast, a bedroom and bar borough in a semicircle outside the city center. Haywood trends decidedly more downmarket, true, but it has the same basic ingredients. Japantown's role as a neon-lit money sponge is played by the strip of restaurants and shopping malls near the coast in Wellsprings. Charter Hill's offer of aspirational yet achievable real estate is echoed by Haywood's modest middle areas. North Oaks villas are, well, Haywood has some nice townhouses. In most ways, though, Haywood is unique. By 2077, the middle class has mostly disappeared, forced into poverty as the ridiculously rich got ridiculously richer.
That doesn't sound familiar at all. Also, I just want to state the energy of, in most ways though, Haywood is unique. It's that same like mentality of whenever you like go into someone's home and it's like a lot more like old-fashioned and kind of like run down a bit, and you're like, well, this is rustic. That's what that feels like. That's the energy it was giving me.
I see you're like, going for a little bit of unique. A cottagecore vibe. Cool.
Yeah. No. Continuing. Yet somehow Haywood manages to approximate a middle class district all the same. Here live those who can scrape together enough to get out of Watson, Pacifica, or the wastelands outside of town, but not enough to buy their way into Charter Hill. These lucky few cling tightly to their recognizably decent standard of living. It is no surprise, then, that Haywood's residents love their district, warts, violent gangs, and all, with fierce pride.
It may not be the best part of the city, but it's my part of the city.
Yeah, it's so good. Awesome. It's these lucky few cling tightly to their recognizably decent standard of living. Same energy. It's got the same energy. This is what I feel like. This is the life that I'm living, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, all right. Before we go down another rabbit hole, let's go to a mid-break. Welcome to the middle of the show where we talk about the show and not the lore of Cyberpunk. I don't have any new patrons to read out. I don't have any new reviews to read out. Spotify comments, I do see them. I appreciate them. We had somebody comment on last week's episode because they're a fan of the Cybernation Uncensored. And so they listened to the crossover episode between the two of us. And so thank you for coming over and listening to the Cyberpunk Lorecast. Now, of course, you can find us on Twitter, and you can also find us on Patreon. Please drop that follow, give us a subscribe, a like, a comment, stars, whatever your podcasting app is asking you to do. Please do it for us. We appreciate. I don't think that I have anything else to add to the middle of the show. What about you?
I do not.
All right. Then let's get back into it and talk about Night City University.
Night City University, also known as NCU, is one of the most important education centers in Night City. Founded in 1994 and originally named Richard Knight University, by the time of the Red, NCU was an academic fortress and bastion of higher learning, supporting a lively counterculture. Its architecture ranges from faux brownstone to pseudo-Victorian gingerbread buildings, which seems like a unique combination.
Yeah, that's a little bit all over the place, but I kind of dig it. Depending on like what lecture hall you're going to, are you going to a gingerbread or are you going to something that looks like somebody's house? Kind of like it. All right, so from the history books of Cyberpunk 2020, when Richard Knight planned the university, he placed the campus on the western edge of the beautiful Lake Park to balance the thriving corporate center on the opposite side. Together, they form the city's balance of commerce and higher learning. On warm days, the campus end of the park teems with students studying or just out enjoying the sun.
The original university took up only the lower half of the 2020 NCU campus. After the corporate takeover in 2009, the campus was expanded in size and renamed Night City University. Most of the humanities functions were moved to the newly constructed northern half of the campus, while the science department stayed in the grouping of older buildings in the southern end. As of 2020, Night City University had over 15,000 students, many of whom commuted to classes on buses that ran at 20-minute intervals between the campus and the maglev station at the western edge of the corporate sector. The university was best known for its high-quality engineering curriculum, but could still offer a sound education in the humanities. Wow, coming to Night City to learn about humanity seems ironic.
Right? But also, that's a huge school. 15,000 students?
I'm trying to think. I'm going to just reference the biggest college in Texas. Well,
the biggest college in Texas is going to be like hundreds of thousands of people. This is a city university.
University of Texas at Austin has 51,991 as of 2021. Oh. So, yeah.
2021 numbers might not be the best to use as an accurate choosing of, because that's the college during COVID years is probably not.
Which also means that most of the stuff was being done digitally, which actually would probably lock in better records.
But
2022 says total undergraduate enrollment of 41,000 in fall of 2022.
Okay. I mean, so 15,000 is still quite a bit. If something as huge as the University of Texas only pulls in 30,000 more people, that's...
I have done another Google. It says that schools that fit within the 15,000 to 25,000 student range are NYU, the University of Southern California, Boston University, and the University of Massachusetts.
The University of Southern California. So, yeah. NCU is SoCal.
Oh, right. I was like, wait, fair enough. Yeah. So there you go. There's your reference points.
Okay. I love that. I love the fact that those numbers correlate. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's funny.
When visiting the NCU campus, you needn't worry about the gang problem that plagued so much of the city, because the campus police kept stern control over the undesirables in their territory. Their glossy black protective gear and no-nonsense attitude earned them the moniker the Mad Maxes among the students. While they jibed their protectors, it wasn't uncommon to hear a student yell for a Max when he got in trouble. While the main objective of the campus police was campus security, students could enter into an optional protection agreement with the university in which the campus police would come to the aid of any student living in the nearby blocks outside of the campus. Which, honestly, I'm kind of cool with this.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool that they, like, kind of go out of their way to offer protection. Because, I mean, given the area, this would have been, like, kind of on the edge of, the old combat zone. Like, not quite on the edge, but near enough that I'm sure would be a problem.
Right.
Like, we know South Night City was not relatively safe, so... You know, but I think that also puts it on the opposite, like the thought process of like, yeah, how much money are these people paying to go here? Like, are these like rich, like corporate adjacent kind of people? Because in that case, it's like, okay, it's just more the rich people get more security. So,
you know. That's kind of what it feels like. But I do like the fact that, I mean, now I'm picturing, you know, somebody yelling out for Max nowadays in 2077. And, you know, we would associate Max with Max Tech, not the Mad Maxes.
Maybe there's like some, I don't know if it'll ever, but I wonder if there's like in, like, you're supposed to extrapolate. Maybe there's like some inspiration. Because, like, this is pretty old, right? Like, this is way back, probably before the conception of Max Tech. So,
probably. Yeah, the 2020s, so I don't think had them.
Yeah, so what if it was, like, you know, they went Max Tech because of, like, you know, they're taking the example of the Mad Maxes and how, like, how serious they took their, like, duties here.
Quite possible.
I know we've done the NCPD episode and have talked about Max Tech, so I know that it didn't specifically say it, but I wonder if it's like, maybe you could just like a little fan theory or something, you know?
Is there a deeper dive into Max Tech that we could do? And I also know that we need to do it on Trauma Team as well.
We do need to do Trauma Team. I know we talked about it a while back, but we just didn't. I'll look into it. Don't put it, I can see if we can, but don't quote me on it, you know?
Oh no, we have the schedule planned out for a little while. So if we get to Max Tech deep dive, it'll be a couple weeks, if at least.
Couple weeks? Definitely, just a couple.
I said a couple weeks at least. Couple meaning two.
Now, as of 2077, Arasaka signed a cooperation agreement with NCU, allowing students and teachers to acquire an Arasaka Ozukumi SX cognitive cyberware on loan at a 20% discounted rate. Oliver Hernandez, a biology professor from NCU, briefly appeared on the late night talk show Night After Night with Ziggy Q, to talk about his position to overturn the Avian Extermination Act and allow birds to return to Night City. I think that we can see this in an intro, or maybe turn on the TV to watch it.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly which one.
So the NCU has a very unique layout. I mean, it's a college campus, so we do have several different little touchstones that we can talk about. But we're just going to list them, or else this episode would be 5 hours long. And you don't want that. I don't want that. So let's just go through the names of the buildings. We have the Brooks Library, the Howard Wong Building, the Humanities Building, the Newt Hall, NCU Administration, NCU Clinic, Robinson Hall, Shoemaker Hall of Performing Arts, the Science Labs, the Science Tower, which makes me think of a wizard tower for some reason.
It also makes me think of a wizard tower.
It's separate from the lab. Why is your tower separate from the lab?
Mm-mm.
The Social Sciences Building, the Student Union, the Ratskeller. Yes?
Astronomy? Or astrology? Which one's the...
Astronomy. The real one? Astronomy, okay. Is the real one.
Yeah.
I think maybe... That makes sense, at least. The Ratskeller, that's got to be an on-campus bar. That can't be a...
It might be the on-campus coffee shop, if I had to... I don't know.
Okay.
It would be funny.
And the Thompson Hall.
I don't actually know. It's not one that has a link. The Ratskeller is the Ratskeller, and we don't know what it is. That might be something you might have to look up in the book.
Oh my gosh. More book entries. Okay. I will add it to the scream sheet for next week. What is the Ratskeller?
Yep.
In the 20s.
I will say, just like reading some of this stuff, because most of this is, well, as you can expect, just places that do specific things. Like, what do they do in the science labs? Science. Makes sense. They did say that the Brooks Library had one of the most extensive, libraries in the country, which seems pretty cool. Yeah. Which, I guess, books and everything being transferred to, like, data and, like, whatnot, I guess books do kind of become out of fad at a point.
I mean, where else would Mr. Hands have gotten the book he was reading? He probably got it from the library.
That is true.
And if not, it's headcanoned now.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So we learned a lot about the NCU, which is really cool because I didn't have a whole lot of experience with it. It was never part of my campaigns in the past, so we didn't really talk about it.
Yep. And if for people that might still be interested, you can actually find the information either online or like in the 2020 books. And it is like an actual location. Each like building seems to have like kind of a layout. I think there's even maps that might be in the book for like, I think, I don't know if it's part of like, I'm assuming it's part of an expansion.
Or I think so.
Like a scream sheet or something that you could like do. This is a lot of cool information on them. But that is what we have for that. And we are going to talk about one of the sub-districts today, but the other two, well, there was just so much about them. So we're going to talk about Wellsprings. And that's the only sub-district today.
We'll talk about the other ones. Not next week, because next week is our Patreon chat. But in a couple of weeks, we will talk about the other districts. So let's go over the Wellsprings tonight.
So for the database entry, I can't do accents yet. It's not that close to the end of the show. They say Wellsprings is where you can find the average middle-class Knight citizen. They're not entirely wrong. situated right next to City Center. That is not me. That is the database entry. I just want to clarify. Situated right next to City Center, the buildings are modern-looking, reminiscent of the city's overhaul after the Fourth Corporate War. But the further southeast you go, the more the architecture becomes diminished, older, and often neglected. Homes aren't that expensive here. You can even score a 400-something square foot apartment for a decent price. 400-something is so fucking small. What are you talking about? I guess in a big city, I guess it's big. That's probably a pretty good size for like a city, like apartment, like whenever it's a compact thing. Well, imagine if you go to buy an apartment like this in like fucking New York, it's probably going to be damn expensive because everything's like they're focused on being compact. I have a large apartment, far larger than 400 square feet. But that's because I live in the most or the largest landmass city in the US. So
400 square feet is literally like one room. It's
a studio. Yeah, it's definitely a studio apartment.
400 square feet is about the size of a two-car garage.
Studio apartment.
Yeah. Thank you, Google.
I was trying to think of... Anyways, in other words, Wellsprings is pretty stable until you find yourself in the eastern part of the district where the houses look like they're about to fall apart and distrusting faces leer at you from broken windows. Valentino's graffiti cover the walls, but as long as you don't get in their way, they couldn't give less of a shit about you. On the other hand, the scavengers to the south, well, let's just say if you've got any ounce of sense in that skull, you won't find yourself there after dark.
Hmm. God, is there anywhere in Night City that's safe after dark? I feel like that's a common theme.
Corporate Plaza. Well, no. I say that, but it wasn't very safe for Rebecca.
That's exactly who popped into my head.
So I guess not. The mind link works.
Oh my god. Wellsprings is a relatively safe district. Yeah, huh, sure. On the west side that borders City Center. The buildings here are newer and modern, brought to life during the rebuilding of Night City. However, southwest of the district, the buildings are smaller and older. These apartments are mid-tier to downright cheap. However, Wellsprings manages to keep an overall aura of class. Most of the buildings were built during the second stage of reconstruction. The eastern part of the Wellsprings are the shanty houses, evoking memories of the rebuilding over 35 years ago. The Valentino's graffiti cover the walls of these areas, but they aren't as active in this district.
I will say, just to throw back to like what you said, mid-tier to downright cheap, are they talking, they're talking the quality, right? Probably not the cost.
Yeah.
If it's cheap cost, I wish it told me how much that is. What is cheap? Because we still aren't sure.
No, and I do think that this is talking about quality, because with the part of it manages to keep an overall aura of class, it just means that they can have the cheap apartments, you know, cheap quality, but we still classy about it. I drink my box wine out of a glass, not directly out of the box.
I feel like you shouldn't drink your box wine out of the box anyways. There's a lot of wine in that box.
Just sit there with the spout open directly going. Yeah.
Now, as for some of the locations, we do have one specific to Phantom Liberty. That is Bree's apartment. We have the Bulwark, that includes several locations, that are just vendors, mostly fresh food, stylishly, and weapons. We have the Bus Depot. We have Data Incorporated, Mega Building H2, Palms View Plaza, Parque del Mar.
Parque del Mar.
A pharmaceuticals place, the Valentino's Auto Shop, and the Wellsprings Water Treatment Facility.
Of the sea. Oh, that's like Park of the Sea. Sea Park. All right. Behind the scenes from our favorite digital art book. The Wellsprings Coastal Strip is the safest, densest, and loudest part of Haywood. This can be thought of as Night City's Venice Beach, a place to be seen for celebrities, and the chance to see them for nobodies, where you can dine on cheap scop hot dogs or ridiculously expensive organic seafood. It's chock full of kitsch, oversized mascots, over-the-top slogans, anything that will grab your attention. The architecture is laid back, not so much decaying as casual, with the washed-out vibe of a beach town. At the same time, plenty of the wealth is on display, be it in luxury yachts anchored off the promenade or the spacious condos in the high-rise apartment buildings.
I don't know why, but I just like the word promenade.
Promenade's a good word.
Yeah. But continuing with my favorite sentence I think I've ever read. Not this first one, the second one. Head east and things transition fast. Suddenly, you're surrounded by Night City's rarest creature, the middle class.
All right. Yep.
It's such a funny fucking sentence. I mean, it makes sense because it's pretty much poor or rich at this point. Like, you know, you're either corporate or you're nobody. Like, that's kind of the point. But it's just like, it's just so funny. Like,
the rarest creature, the middle class.
Yeah. Yeah. The apartment buildings are of moderate height and adequately nice. There are movie theaters, gas stations, drive-through espresso joints. If it weren't for the AVs and implants, you'd swear you're in a gentrifying early 21st century American city. Keep going, though, and you'll remember where you really are. Wellsprings East is as rife with unemployment, shanties, and gang activity as any of Night City's other impoverished districts.
Digital art.
This book. Second half of this, wild. Wild and fun.
Pure sass. We love the sass. Bring us more.
It's so good. The digital art book of 2077 is one of the best creations I think has ever been made.
All right. The bus depot. While it doesn't sound cool, we've got a little bit of information on it. It's formerly a depot where the public transit buses of Night City were stored and maintained. But by 2077, the facility had become defunct and used as a base of operations for the Valentino's gang. It can be found on Benko Street in Wellsprings, Haywood. In 2077, the depot was being used by Jose Luis and his crew to store Militech equipment in preparation for an assault on the Arasaka facility. This was orchestrated by Arasaka in order to frame Militech for the attack and justify a new corporate war. Dun, dun, dun.
Right, look, you think it's just a bus depot, but it's got, like, the foundations of the Fifth Corporate War. Like, that's pretty crazy.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, a place for buses to go. Fifth Corporate War. That escalated quickly.
It did. I wonder if they're mounting M60s on top of these buses in expectation for the corporate war. Did you know I was going to say that?
We do. We have stats on a vehicle like that.
Oh, that's true. I just want to know specifically here if they were doing that.
I don't know specifically.
Yeah. Now, moving on to the Bulwark, we actually have a database entry for it. Bulwark is a shopping center situated right on the Wellsprings waterfront. There, You can find good quality implants as well as bars and eateries to suit any palate. I guess this is the place where you can get your organic seafood.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. The clean, well-maintained Bulwark is also a great place for a walk, even if you don't plan on grabbing some new chrome. I'm terrified to walk in Night City.
Walk.
That sounds like a date.
Walk.
Walk. Walk. That's so demanding. The crosswalk is very demanding. You ever think about how bossy it is? Don't walk. Don't walk.
But you know, it's actually really cool. Sorry, I'm going to tangent here because I love the audio ones for crosswalks in the real world because they are specifically designed for visually impaired people to know that which side of the street is free to cross on. Situated in a more luxurious part of Wellsprings, the Bulwark offers a plethora of restaurants, bars, clothing shops, and other facilities. With a good view on the Wellspring docks and the setting sun, it makes for an excellent place to go sightseeing. I kind of want to go.
I feel like this is the first time we've heard this sentence uttered.
An excellent place to go sightseeing?
For like cyberpunk? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a fucking beach in Pacifica and they're still like, yeah, no.
Maybe if you walk all the way to the end of the pier and ignore the bloodstains from the cyber psycho, it could look really pretty out there.
It's true. That's true. It's probably is relatively, fuck, I had a word and it's already gone.
Idyllic.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Mind link goes both ways.
Well, Mega Building H2, we don't know a lot about it, but it is guarded by the NCPD and one Militech Minotaur. It has three sectors, which have three elevators for easy access to the Mega Building entrance. It also has a basement in which there are more households. But also, what's going on here that they need a Militech Minotaur?
Right?
Why Minotaur? That's a big old bot.
Also, I didn't even think about the fact that our mega building might have a basement. Or is that the parking garage?
No, because the parking garage goes up from the street level. I don't think it has a basement. Or at least it probably does. We cannot go to it, though. Mm-hmm. I don't believe.
Valid. Okay. Huh. Well, Tosi, we've definitely talked a lot about Haywood, and we have a lot more to say about it. There are whole districts that we haven't even touched on yet, and I now have quite the scream sheet going here for research that we need to fill out further details on. So I think instead of us dragging it out any longer tonight, let's wrap it up here.
All right.
Please come give us a follow on Twitter at CyberpunkLore, and you can also catch us on Patreon.com/CyberpunkLoreCast. You can find me on the Two Girls, One Ship podcast, where we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer. And on Scyther Audio's newest fan-made drama, The Avengers, the audio drama, where you can hear me and several of my podcasting friends.
And if you want to hear more from me, you can check out The Witcher Lorecast.
All right. And at the end of every episode, we shout out Miracle of Sound and thank him for allowing his music to be used. We use snips and clips from the Neon Red instrumental remix. So thanks, Gav, for being awesome. And while you're out there,
stay safe in Night City.
Vault Dwellers, join me, Jaxus, Sassy Lady Roamer, Eric, and the creator, Maverick, as we take topics from the Fallout universe and discuss them with other diverse individuals. We can be found wherever you listen to your podcast. You can follow us on YouTube. You can also find us on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it using @FalloutRTD. You can send us an email using falloutrtd@gmail.com. Join us. The conversation has already started.